Thank you, Brother Belcher. Thank you, church, for praying. And grab your Bibles tonight, if you would. We're going to be in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And when you have found that, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter number 4. And one verse tonight, but a profound verse for us in any circumstance. Preacher, don't you know, COVID's spiking. That's the verse for us tonight. Preacher, don't you know, there's an election. This is the verse for us tonight. Preacher, you don't know what my week has been like. You don't know what my heart is full of. This is the verse for us tonight. I want us, before we read it, Thanksgiving is in this month, right? So November is a month of Thanksgiving. If any people ought to be thankful, it ought to be Christian people, blood-bought people, people who've been adopted into the family of God, people who are waiting for that blessed hope, people. It ought to be us, amen? So before we read it, let's do what we do. Find somebody around you, tell them something you're thankful for. Ready? Go. Don't sit there and stare at me. Find somebody. Tell them something you're thankful for. Let's look together. Say it in unison with me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Father, I pray that in these next few moments, you'd have your will, have your way as we look into your word. Father, minister to our hearts tonight. Father, we need you. We need your spirit. We need your word. We need your peace. We need your power. We need you. Lord, would you meet with us tonight as only you can, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Church of Philippi was the first European church founded by the Apostle Paul during his second missionary journey. Give you a little history here, a little bit of background. Acts chapter 16, if you want to do a little more study. And here we find a little later on that Paul writes a letter to that church, the church in the city of Philippi. And it's a unique letter because of all the epistles that Paul wrote, in this church, there are no real doctrinal problems that Paul is dealing with. There is a disagreement that we see in this chapter between a couple of different church members, but hey, it's church, right? So, yeah. This book is positive. This book is practical. This book is powerful. One of the major themes of the book of Philippians is joy. In four chapters, the word joy, rejoice, rejoicing occurs 17 times in just those four chapters. Another theme of this book is the gospel. And so what we find is that Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi to let the gospel be the bedrock of their faith that binds them together, that provides them joy, because of the basic truth that though we were dead and doomed and destined for destruction in our sin, God loved us and gave His Son for us. And we may be different in many different ways, but the gospel of Jesus Christ brings us together in one body, brings us together for one purpose. And so Paul, in the book of Philippians, he picks up his pen. He picks up his pen notably from his prison cell. He picks up his pen in his prison cell, and he doesn't write a manifesto. He doesn't write an appeal to Nero. He doesn't write a communique with his lawyer. He's not complaining to the warden about the lack of three hots and a cot. But Paul picks up his pen from a prison cell and begins to rejoice in Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we look at this verse, Paul invites you and I to join him in that genuine joy. Let's look at this thought together in a message that we have simply entitled, Christian, Rejoice. Verse number 4, let's look at it first. The Bible says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You look at this, let's just acknowledge it right out the gate. This is a daunting command. I mean, this, when you read it, some days it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside, but most days, let's be honest, I look at this and say, yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if I could actually do this? I mean, the thing about this is the call is clear. What are we supposed to do, church? We're supposed to... I know it's Wednesday night. The people in radio land and Facebook land need to hear you. Don's got these mics open. Let them hear you. We have a clear call. We need to do what? We need to rejoice. So the call is clear. It is a direct call that Christians need to rejoice. And the word rejoice, you probably already know what it means. It means to be glad, to be well, to thrive. And when you stop and you think about this, what God is commanding us to do, to be glad, to be well, to thrive, that is a daunting call, especially when he follows it up with the word always. Because I can do it sometimes. That word always, it means at all times. It means in and under all circumstances. And I got to be honest, if there is any command that seems impossible, many times it's this one. Because I don't always feel like rejoicing. Anybody else with me tonight? Or am I the only carnal person in the building? I don't always feel like rejoicing. Sometimes I wake up bracing, preparing myself for a bad day. Oh, here we go again. Anybody else with me tonight? And yet we're called to rejoice. You know what? I can see. Just kind of picture in your mind's eye with me tonight. The church at Philippi, and they're reading the letter. They're reading corporately the letter that Paul has written to the church. And they come to this verse where Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I got to remind us tonight that there were problems in this church. In fact, right before verse 4, we have verse 2 and 3, where we got a couple of ladies in the church who've been fighting with one another. I know. Come on, I ain't touching that, though. It's a Wednesday night. I ain't meddling, all right? But we had a couple of people in the church fighting with one another. And right after Paul deals with the fight, he says, rejoice! I can see him now. Well, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if we could actually do that, just rejoice? But you know what? You got to remember, this is Philippi. Because in my mind's eye, do you know what I see? I see a gentleman stepping up from the back of the room, maybe, and saying, well, let me give a quick testimony. And this gentleman begins to recount what happened back in Acts chapter 16. You look back in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 22, the Bible says this, and the multitude rose up together. This is when Paul was ministering in Philippi. The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beat. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, this is Paul and his companion, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Hold on. When they had laid many stripes upon them, you and I can't even handle it when somebody looks at us cross-eyed from across the room. But when they had laid many stripes upon them, they put them, cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Can you read it with me tonight? And at midnight, say it with me. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, you go a little farther in the chapter and you find the Philippian jailer that had just thrust them into prison, fall before them and say, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what, in my mind's eye tonight, I can see maybe a church that's a little bit skeptical because there's conflict in that church. But then I see the Philippian jailer step up to the forefront and say, hold on, hold on. Let me tell you not just the authority of this man. Let me tell you the example of this man as he, at midnight, after being beat, after being cast into prison, after being thrust into the innermost prison, after having his feet bound fast with stocks, how he prayed and sang praises to God. Christian, rejoice. Now, I got to be honest, it is a daunting command. But I'm going to tell you this verse, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This verse is more than just a nice post on Facebook. It is our commanded posture that we are to keep. It is more than just a suggestion from God. It is God's expectation of us. Christian, rejoice. So we see the daunting command. But I also want you to see in this verse the divine content. You know, the Bible says, rejoice. How, church? Well, we'll get there. Give me the... You can't jump over words in the Bible. Rejoice. Next three words. In the Lord. The divine content. Our divine content. You know, the call to rejoice. To rejoice always. It begs the question, how? Because I don't always get what I want. But I always want what I want, right? I mean, rarely when I don't get what I want does it put me in a very good mood. And so I don't always feel like it because I don't always get what I want. I don't always feel like it because sometimes life hurts. And life hurts deeply. How can I rejoice when things are not well with me? How can I rejoice when my flesh has fear? How can I rejoice when I am struggling with hurt? How can I rejoice when the whole world seems lined up against me? The Bible tells us how. It's all about the content. You see, you and I are called to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You see, people will fail me. People will forsake me. But Jesus never does. You see, circumstances can hurt me. Things that happen to me can grieve me. But Jesus never does. When I think of Jesus Christ, I realize tonight that His person doesn't fade. His program doesn't fail. His purpose for my life doesn't falter. Earlier in this book, in Philippians 1 and verse number 6, Paul wrote this, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Over in Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works. Understanding this, no matter what circumstance before, no matter what people do, God's person and God's program, God's purpose doesn't falter or fail. When I think about Jesus tonight, His power never fades. Amen, church? His power is never finished. His presence never forsakes us. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus has never walked out on you. Jesus has never held out on you. The Bible says, this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Psalm 84, 11 and 12. The Bible says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Blessed, verse number 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in You. You know, sometimes in my heart and life, sometimes I want to sing the blues. Sometimes I want to do the woe is me. Sometimes it really hurts and I don't want to sing or talk at all. This is one of those verses that the Holy Spirit really uses to help kind of... The Bible says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And the reality is, either I believe it or I don't. Either I believe that God means what He says in Psalm 84 and verse 11, or I don't. I believe it. And when I reset my soul there, do you know what we can do? We can rejoice in the Lord. You know, sometimes life stings and sometimes life stinks. But God is good, only good, and always good. And we always have reason to rejoice in Jesus. Psalm 146 and verse number 5 puts it this way. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Christian, tonight I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to rejoice in the unchangeable Lord. Rejoice in His cross. Rejoice in His empty tomb. Rejoice in the access that you have to His throne. Paul mentions that in verse number 6 of this chapter. rejoice for the peace that His presence brings you. Verse number 7 of this chapter. Rejoice in His Spirit that indwells us. Rejoice in His strength that never fails us. Rejoice in His provision. Rejoice in the future He's prepared for us. The Bible says that eye have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Rejoice in the future that God has prepared for us. Rejoice in your position in the family of God. Rejoice in His soon and certain return. Rejoice in the Lord. You know what? Sometimes you just have to stop. Sometimes you have to remember a reason to rejoice. Sometimes you have to borrow a reason to rejoice. Sometimes you have to lift up your eyes and find the reason right in front of you to rejoice. Sometimes you just have to anticipate a reason to rejoice. But you know what? Let's rejoice in the Lord. Christian, rejoice. So we see the daunting command. We see the divine content here that makes this possible. I want you to look one more time. I'm going to read the verse again, make one final application here to the grammar of the text. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, the reality is, it is a command. It is a command. And the reality is, when God gives us a command, we always have a choice whether or not we obey it. You see, so often we view this maybe a little bit differently, that the joy in our life or the happiness in our life or the fulfillment in our life is just something we have to be lucky enough to stumble into. No, the Bible says true joy comes from finding our joy, our gladness, our peace, our thriving in the Lord. And it comes from me making a deliberate choice that no matter what happens around me, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. You see, for every command, we have a choice. We have a choice. We have a choice. The deliberate choice. Christians, we choose where to look to find our joy. If you look to circumstances, your joy will be as unstable, it'll be as feeble, it'll be as fleeting as your circumstances are. If your joy comes from elections, half of you are going to be unhappy every year. Every other year, I guess. If your joy comes from physical pleasure in this life, well, you better hope you marry a really good cook. I mean, good to eat. If your joy comes from sports and physical activity, you better hope you never get an injury. I mean, the reality is, we choose where to find our joy from. And where we choose to look for our joy will show us just how stable our joy is going to be. If you look to your circumstances, your joy will be as stable as your circumstances. If you look to other people, your joy will be as stable as the other people in your life. If you look to Jesus Christ, you can rejoice always. Because He never changes. He never changes. If you trust in Jesus Christ, if you look to Jesus Christ for your joy will be as unfailing as Jesus. And the reality is, I get to choose. I get to choose where I look for my joy. Christians, we have to understand tonight, we are not victims of this world. We are not victims of our circumstances. We are not victims of a culture. We are victors in Christ, period. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole genre of Christianity out there that speaks death of, well, woe is me, and it's just so hard, and the evil is just so great. Understand this, that the church made its greatest impact when Christians were being lit on fire and fed to lions, and we ain't there yet. Our circumstances don't get to dictate our joy. You know, Paul here in one verse, he tells us to do it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, in case you missed it, I say rejoice. Why did Paul do that? Why did the Holy Spirit lead Paul in the scope of one verse to tell us to rejoice twice? Because if you're anything like me, we can either rejoice or complain, and one of them comes more natural than the other. Church, oh, that the world would see the joy that's available in Jesus. Oh, that your neighbors and my neighbors could get to see the joy that's available in Jesus. The joy that's available when we're healthy, the joy that's available when we're sick, the joy that's available when we're wealthy, and the joy that's available when we're poor. The joy that's available when we have great blessing, and the joy that's available when we have great hurt. The world needs to see the joy that's found in Jesus. The joy that's found when the path is plain. The joy that's found when everything seems cloudy and rocky. The joy that's found in Jesus. That we could get away from this Eeyore Christianity where we walk around and we say, well, I've lost my house and I've lost my tail and I've lost my balloon, but I guess things could always be worse. Yeah, I want that. I think sometimes we wonder, why doesn't the world want what we have? Because we don't always look like we want what we have. Rejoice in the Lord. The deliberate choice. The deliberate choice. Christian, rejoice because God is good. Christians, rejoice because Jesus saves. Christians, rejoice because Jesus is coming again. Christians, rejoice because we have been entrusted with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians, rejoice because He's counted us faithful, putting us in the ministry. Christians, rejoice because He has placed us here for such a time as this. Christians, rejoice because the world needs to see. Not a political party in a White House, not a decision from a court, but the world needs to see that the body of Christ has everything in Jesus. Has everything in Him. Christian, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can you read it with me tonight? Let's say it together. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hey, don't just say it with your mouth. Don't just read it with your eyes. Read it with your heart tonight. Let the Holy Spirit read it with your heart tonight. Say it with me. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Again, church, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This church is what we need in this hour. This church is what the world needs to see of this body. And when we consider our Savior who loved us and died for us and rose for us, how could we not but rejoice?